thanksgiving. Activating the blessed power of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving should be an act, not an act, not just an act. Thanksgiving is supposed to be a lifestyle everyone must imbibe if you must go far in life. When we talk about thanksgiving, we are talking about appreciation for what the Lord has done. Then you can take it a step further. You can also thank Him for what He hasn't done. Thanking Him for what He has not done. You can bless God for that. God's prerequisite intentions for your life is to make you prosperous. So it doesn't matter what you've been through or what you are going through. God has a great plan for your life. I was showing them in Genesis chapter 3, starting from verse 1, about Adam and Eve. From verse 1, the serpent was more subtle than any beast that the Lord God has made. The serpent came to Eve, let me explain it. Came to Eve and started telling Eve, the first thing the serpent presented was, has God said you shouldn't eat all the trees here? Eve said, no, the Lord said, I should not eat this particular tree. Which means the serpent didn't know. He knew God said don't eat, but he didn't know the particular one, because Satan is not omnipresent. He's not everywhere at the same time. There were more than 100,000 provisions of trees that the Lord God had planted himself in the Garden of Eden, eastward of Eden. But Satan capitalized on one, the serpent, and said, did God tell you not to eat this one? And when Eve was shown a different perspective, Eve forgot the thousands of trees that the Lord had commanded her not to eat and focused on a single one. That's how the fall of man came. Over time in life and in destinies, the devil takes our eyes off the trees that God has provided and begins to show us one that he has not made available. And because of that, he defocuses us from the tangibility of what really matters to the trivial things. There are a couple of things that God has done this year. Numerous, uncountable, indescribably immeasurable things that God has made available. One of them is life. If you are alive today, is an indication. Lines will fall in pleasant places. You are alive today is an indication that whatsoever you've been expecting to receive will still come to pass. I didn't hear a loud amen. So over time, the devil defocuses us. We lose focus of the life we have. And then we begin to think of the money we do not have. When Eve and Adam ate of that tree, they lost the garden. They ate of a single tree and they lost a whole garden. That's what happens. When we become ungrateful over one thing God has not done, and we murmur and we grumble, we lose things that matter. Psalms 103 and verse 1. I will read verse 1 and then I will read verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefit. It is not a suggestion, it's an instruction. Because man has capacity and capabilities to forget God's and divine benefits. Forget not his benefits. Everyone here listening to me has profitings from God. There are things God has done for you. Bless the Lord with everything you have, with all that is within you, and do not forget God's benefit. There are a couple of things he has done. One of the things he has done, which is the most, and we should place premium attention and focus on it, is the life you have. As you are here today, there is a God that is carrying your oxygen tank. He neither sleeps nor slumbers. Be grateful for it. Oh, man of God, you don't know. There are a couple of things I expected to receive this year. I have not seen things I expected I would have had. I didn't see any of them. Man of God, you don't understand. For the fact you are even expecting something means you are alive. And then it's a testimony in its entirety. Only the living can expect a child. Only the living can expect a job. Only the living can expect a car. Only the living can expect a marriage. So if God has given you what matters the most to be alive in the land of the living, it means he has given you the best. Put those hands together for Jesus. Your hands are not loud. Put those hands together for him. The louder you put those hands, the quicker your miracle will come. Jude has only one chapter. Jude 1 verse 15 to verse 16. Give it to me. Can I have it in NLT? To execute judgment on the people of the world, he will convict every person of all the ungodly things they have done, and for all the insult that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Verse 16. These people are grumblers and complainers, living only to satisfy their desire. They brag loudly about themselves, and they flatter others to get what they want. So now, these are the manifestations of grumbling. Anyone that grumbles is a selfish person. The person wants to satisfy his desires alone. They brag loudly. That person is braggadocious. Every murmurer is a proud person. And then the person is also a flatterer. They loudmouth others to get what they want. Verse 15. Because of that, there is judgment that God has sent. One of the things grumbling against God, murmuring against God does is, and this is the highest thing it does, it shortens a man's lifespan. Every grumbler has short life. It's in the Bible. I will show us. But let's start. There are four C's I want you to pay attention about grumbling. Four C's. Four C's I want you to pay attention. Number one is the conduct of the murmurer. The conduct. It begins with the conduct. That is the behavior. The attitudinal behavior. How the person behaves. Give me the scripture, Exodus 16 and verse 8 to verse 9. Exodus 16 and verse 8. Then Moses added, "The Lord will give you meat to eat in the evening and bread to satisfy you in the morning. For he has heard all your murmurings, all your complaints against him. What have you done? What have we done? Yes, your complaints are against the Lord, not against us. May you have an understanding that anytime you murmur against God. Give me the next verse of that scripture. And Moses said unto Aaron, announce this to the entire community of Israel present. Of Israel, present yourself before the Lord, for he has heard. Give it to me, King James. When we hear complaining, it's this translation waters it down. He has heard your murmurings. Your murmurings. The conduct, if you listen, one of the worst people I work with are people that complain. In fact, they are the worst. They are never satisfied. There is nothing you do for them that will make them. They are ungrateful people. Because murmuring is symptomatic of ingratitude. Murmuring is a symptom, is one of the symptoms of ingratitude. That shows somebody is ungrateful. Things are given to others. You will hear this person say, you have tried, but if only you did more. They're always like that. Never satisfied. That's what the scripture shows us. Never satisfied. And guess what? Those people can never amount to anything important. They can never grow up in life. They can never go up in life. But now, have you wondered? I took time to read all through scriptures and I discovered that not one person that complained in scripture, that murmured, was an unbeliever. So murmuring is not the sin of unbelievers. It's the sin of believers. You cannot murmur against somebody you don't know. The more you come close to a man, the more you murmur, grumble about a person. So murmuring is the sin of believers. At every time in scripture, these people left Egypt. God made them leave Egypt. And they started complaining. The cucumbers we have been eating. They took the manna that God sent from heaven, scattered it and said, "Is this? Look at what God said he gave us. And he gave us a food. He said it would have been better when we are in Egypt eating garlic and cucumber." How do you compare cucumber and manna, bread and meat? And then God started smiting them in Numbers chapter 14 from verse 3. They say, "Moses, beg God." God stopped. In the next verse, verse 4, they continued. Always pointing things God has not done. Watch their conditions. Now, some of us may say, "But I've not been saying things like that." But in your heart, you are speaking it. You must be mindful. This God has been grateful. Check yourself and tell yourself the truth. He has been grateful. And now, let me shock you. Blessed be the name of the Lord for not answering all your prayers. If the Lord had answered all your prayers, a lot of us wouldn't be alive today. I was listening to a man of God, a great servant of God, Joel Austin. He said he was in a small plane that contained a few number of people. It was a private jet. When you enter flight, you see a tray before you. It is attached at the back of a seat. You are supposed to pull it out. That is during the time to eat, especially on international flights. Now, but on private jets, because there may be not one seat that is before this person here, it is attached by the door side. It is attached by the wall of the plane. So he came, he saw his own plane, his own tray, and then he began to pull it out. He was busy pulling it out. The thing refused to pull out. Others pulled their own out. And then it took him from 10 minutes to 15 minutes. He was dragging to pull it out. He couldn't pull it out. Somebody got up and
was helping him to pull it out. The person couldn't pull it out. Another person tried to pull it out. They couldn't pull it out. He was frustrated for about 30 to 45 minutes. When he now succeeded and said, okay, let me not pull it out, he looked up. He saw written on just above that tree, what looks like a tree. This is not a conventional tree. This is for emergency exit. Don't pull.
Now, every of this pulling would have opened that flight up and it would have crashed. Most times we are trying to pull something and it is locked. In our frustration, we cry out. You don't know that God is using frustration to frustrate you out of debt. Most frustrations are divinely orchestrated to frustrate you out of debt. Sometimes God uses delay to help you not to meet up with dangers. Somebody bought plantain chips in Kano. Someone get it, Kano. Gave the girl 1,000. The girl said, let me go look for change, and disappeared. He got angry and then came down and was looking for the girl. Eventually finds the girl. Or I think he finds the girl or something. They had a little problem. On coming back to that bus, the bus had already left. He was so angry, his luggage was brought down. He was so angry, he had to wait for another car to load. And it was long before the car was able to load. At the end of this, he took off. On coming, after about 2-3 hours on the road, he saw the same car had an accident. And that place where he sat in the car, an iron came from the car and pierced a woman through the belly and came out from through the seat. Do you know what God did? In the day God will set him free, he may not have listened to every other thing. God sent a child that took his change and ran away. Most times your frustration are divinely orchestrated by God to deliver you from your destructions. May you understand it. A lady cried. A guy of 7 years, after she fasted, Lord, about this union, the guy called and said, it is over between us. And then she cried and met her pastor. Her pastor went to the Lord in prayer. 7 years, and the lady was no more younger. Getting younger, she was in her 30s. Has waited for this sweetheart for about 7 solid years. She wept. After the pastor prayed, the Lord gave the pastor a passage in Romans chapter 8. All things work together for good for them that love him, and unto them that are the called according to his purpose. The pastor didn't know how to tell the girl. Later on, the pastor said, this is what the Lord said. The girl said, how can the Lord say that all things work together for good? The guy got married 6 months later. The girl didn't marry. About a year plus to 2 years later, the girl got married. 1 month into her marriage, she heard that the young man is dead. So when she came for the burial of the young man, she saw the widow of the man crying. Just a marriage of 1 year plus. And she heard a voice that said, it would have been you. The day you prayed, I answered by taking away something from you. If you leave a child, they won't want to take egusi soup. They won't want to take ogbono soup. They won't want to eat rice. They need chocolate. Morning, chocolate. Afternoon, chocolate. Night, sugar. If you give them sugar, they want to eat leek. But as a good father, you will know that if this child eats this sugar all the time, the stomach will have challenges. The Bible says, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, has your child ever asked for a bread or for a fish and you gave the child a snake? For a bread, you gave the child a snake, a stone. If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father who is in heaven?
Sometimes what we are asking for is what will kill us. My daughter said, come down, I want to drive. I said, you will drive when you grow up. She said, I want to drive now. She said, sit on my lap. She sat on my lap. Wanted to pull the gear. I took off her hand, turned off the ignition, and she started crying. Do you love me, daddy? Yes, I love you. But not to love you to drive the car. There are a lot of God's children that wants to drive what will kill them. They are crying and screaming. God, in all wisdom, he understands. They are headed unto death. Glory to Jesus for all the prayers he didn't answer. If he had answered all your prayers, some of us would have been in the grave. Wow. What is he saying? What is he saying? Several years ago, where we built our church, we wanted to build a church. That was the site I loved. I loved this site so much. I kept going to this family, Give me this place, they said. Come, give me this. There was another place that was waiting. I didn't like the place. The place didn't look like a good place. Give us the place, they said. Come. We are going to have meeting next two Sundays. Another time, next three Sundays. And they are always having meetings in three weeks. So it took months, several months. Until the last time I came, they told me to come pay. The money was at the trunk of my car. To pay. And then after some bickerings, they came out and they said, we are sorry to disappoint you. We can't give you the place. I told them the righteous cannot be disappointed. That disappointment is direction. It's God redirecting the righteous. I went and paid for USCO. And in USCO, our harvest came. One day the Lord said, this is where you would have stayed. You loved the land because it was a table land. But you didn't look and see that it was close to the express. At the starting point of your ministry, you don't need a place like that. It would have swallowed you. God in all his wisdom saved us from there. Most times we need to thank God for the prayers he didn't answer. I was with somebody. I went to do one or two things in my car. And the man was sharing a story. He said police officer stopped him. He was on speed with a particular young man. The young man will overtake him, he'll overtake the young man. The young man will overtake him, he'll overtake the young man. On a very terrible speed. And the young man overtakes him and does hand like this. And then the police stopped the young man, passed him, stopped him. He didn't say anything. The police started searching even for his jack. His jack, his wheel spanner. Started checking the expiring date of his tire. He got angry and said, when has the police started checking that? The police officer said, I go check, I'm waiting, you go do. He kept checking it and checking it and checking it. After everything, he got frustrated and he was screaming, shouting. See, you people, very wicked idiots. On coming, he saw that a trailer has cleared off cars, including that guy and other ones. He came and saw people lying down. He said the car of the man squeezed. And then the car that was following him at the back squeezed. And then another car squeezed. Every car that overtook him, more than four cars, the trailer, Dangote Cement, ran into all of them and failed brake and just was hitting everyone. And the Dangote trailer was at his back when the police packed him. When they were saying, your tire, your this, he thought it was, he was frustrated. That God frustrated him to redeem him. That's why I've learned that all things work together. I'm about to move and my tire does, oh, or anything happens, I smile. There is something ahead that God doesn't want me to meet. Am I talking to somebody here? A lady was about to go for a wedding. There were three cars One was the car of young boys that came, you know, they came back. That car was cleaner. So she wanted to follow them. She was one of the ashebis of the girls, of the lady that were there. So as she wanted to follow them, she just came out to sit on the seat of that car. She heard, it was her zip. She came down from the car and told the people, please wait. They said, we can't wait for you. She now has to enter the bus and she doesn't want to follow the bus. She said, it is this one I want to. And then she called the teller. The teller came. She said, Obanje, this cloth is Obanje. They got to the reception. This one spoke to this one. This one spoke to this one. This one spoke to this one. Everyone started screaming in the distance. The best man of the one wedding was in that car. They had an accident. They jumped into like flyover and all of them died. How did God save the lady? God, most times, does something we don't know. Some of you that a man walked out of your life, you think you were disappointed. God saved you from a danger. God saved you from a danger. All things working together for good to them that love him and unto them that are the called according to his purpose. How many things? Church. How many things? Is it some things? Is it most things? Is it many things? How many things work together for good? All things work together for good to them that love him and unto them that are the called according to his purpose. Let me hear amen 3 times. Every mumra is a carnal person. So the second C is carnality. The first C is conduct. The conduct. The second C, the carnality. Numbers 14 and verse 1. Numbers 14 and verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness. The next verse. And wherefore had the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? The next verse, verse 4. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. Carnality. Carnality. Whenever they murmur, that murmuring is leading to somewhere. Carnality. They want to return to the Egypt of their lives, to their old ways. If God doesn't answer me, I will be the greatest harlot. If God doesn't do this, they keep giving God condition. Are we going to this? Are we do this? Are we do this? I will stop serving him. I will stop being a servant of God. All the service I've rendered to God, what good have I seen? For the fact you are alive is an exemplification that there is a preparation going on behind the scene you cannot see. Just wait. And most times, God's wait, God telling you wait, is so you don't fall into the danger that is ahead. Somebody say, I hear. You didn't say it loud. Somebody say, I hear. Say, I hear, I hear. Ore. What happened? What was the name of this auto star? The young man said he carried a woman that immediately they left Lagos. The woman was at the back. She poo-pooed on her clothes. She was having running stomach. And then they came down, and then the woman opted and then, you know, cleaned herself up and then closed the bush nearby and then cleaned up the seat. He said that the odor was terrible. So after a particular this, the woman will say, I want to poo-poo. After this, I want to do this. After this. And then he was grumbling. He was sad and mad. And they were going. He said that the people that left before him, they called them. They were still in Shagamu. They had reached Ore. These people were more than 1 hour plus. They left almost together. Even the people that he left before overtook him. And they were 1 hour ahead of them. And he was controlling them. By the time they passed Ore Little and came, he saw the bosses that left him frozen to death. Not people didn't run out. They were inside the bus. Fire came on them. And then they sat on the chair and died. Because that thing covered more than 300 poles. 300 poles forward, 300 poles backward, 300 poles sideways. Father, on the day you will save me, however you want to do it. If you like, on that day, at checking point, let the police officer slap me. Just, hello, good morning. Why? Did you just call me idiot? Can you imagine that? And I will get down with anger and say, what did you just do? And then you say, Father, on that day, let police officer arrest me and put me in cell. I can wait. But let him arrest me away from the accident that is on the way. Can you still trust him when you don't know what he's doing? Can you still trust him when you are not seeing all the full picture? It's not clear to you. Can you still trust God in the middle of the dark? When the situations, things you are going through are so terrible for you to bear. Can you still trust God? A day comes when God will make the family of Jephthah to reject Jephthah. So that Jephthah can go out and get trained. The Bible says that when they rejected Jephthah, he left their house and then went to another place and was trained. He started having his training. Then God caused something to happen. If Jephthah had been in that house and war, if war had come, Jephthah would have fought as one of them and he wouldn't be their king. But this time, as they came back to seek for Jephthah, Jephthah said, you trust me out. If I must fight with you, I fight this battle, we win the battle, I will be a king over you. They say, no problem. God orchestrated it. Lord, I believe in your intelligence and wisdom. Orchestrate something, no matter how painful it looks. Give me the patience to understand it. Give me the wisdom to know that you are working for my good. No one is understanding what I'm saying. A tailor, one of these days, came to my house. And then I had a cloth. No Bioma, you know those ones that carry something on their head. I had a cloth that just stored here. I said, how much will you use? And then I think he said, 500. I said, what? He said, okay, pay anything. I don't like pricing them. I said, okay, do it. So I was there, do it. I want to wear it immediately. He said, no problem. He took his hand, opened that thing up, little, open it. The thing I hear is, wow! I said, why are you tearing the cloth? He said, relax. He said, if I sew it like that, it will be rough. I have to tear it to get the alignment. Because it was small. He said, there is no places whatever would have entered. He thought it well. He used. I said, anything wrong with you? He said, relax. I am tearing it to get the symmetrical alignment. And then after that, he sat down. And then started quietly. And then he was able to sew back that. And I watched. It was as perfect as the other one. He said, you see, this one took time. If I had done it the other way, it would have been faster, but it will be rough. Sometimes we go to God to patch us up. He said, welcome. He breaks you. Bam! You say, Lord, I came to you for my salvation. Relax. The potter knows what he is doing. He breaks to make. Hey! He breaks to mold.
Follow him. Follow him. Just follow him. He knows what he's doing. Like that tailor, you brought your life that was just a little bit, and then God took the life and said, welcome, enter. And say, oh God, things are worse. Don't you know that chickens fight the most when they are about to die? If you put knife to their neck, even when they are dead, they are still shaking. There is something in biology called electric cells. You still think they are alive. One of Christmas like this. Think it was Christmas or Easter. My wife has started laughing. Because all of us ran now. We cut off the head of a chicken. The only thing holding it was small. Remove all the feathers. Put it inside the bucket. The thing was quiet. We now poured hot water. The pot, I was just sitting there. The thing came out of the bucket. And then the head like this. It was walking to all of us. Where I was sitting, the chicken was. And the head was like this. It can't see. It was walking like this. The thing was coming. I stood up. Everybody stood up. We took off. I said, okay, Rebecca. Has Satan entered? Oh. I said, what is this? At first, you know, I sat down. Because I was with some people. How can man of God run? You know? But you've got to tell yourself the truth at a very important time. The thing was still working like this. And then we were watching. I stood up at first. And then I was watching. Then I said this. Nah. Okay, we are going to hold up. We took off. He walked to a particular point and then he fell and died. I called somebody that day. The person told me that chicken died when that thing was caught. What reacted later was what? The electric cells that responded to the stimulus of the hot water. Satan makes the highest of the noise when he's about to lose in your life. If he's rattling an area of your life, that idiot is about to lose. Am I talking to somebody here? Without seeing the score in a pitch, if you start watching football and they cover the score of both teams, how two of them play shows you who is winning and who is losing. The one winning is comfortable. He doesn't want to do throwing. The one that is losing is the one that is running helter-skelter. If some things are running pia-pia in your life, Satan is losing the match. Relax your mind. God is in control. Somebody say, yeah! He is losing the match. Numbers 11:5. We remember. Look at these people. Every mumra remembers what happened 50 years ago than remembering what happened 5 days ago that God did. We remember the fish we ate. How did they remember the fish they ate and they didn't remember the sea that parted? The Bible says a rock was following them. Anytime they wanted water, a moving rock, they traveled through the wilderness for 40 years. A particular rock was following them for these years. A rock. Anytime they wanted to drink water, that rock gave them water. I want you to understand this act. Look at what they are remembering. They didn't remember the rock that gave them water. We remember the fish we did eat in Egypt freely. Who told them they ate it freely? They were under tax masters. Slaves, my brother. They were what? Did they eat it freely, sir? They didn't eat it. The cucumber and the melons, egusi, and the leeks is garlic, and the onions. Okay, this is the garlic and the garlic that we ate. Whereas God sent manna. God gave them manna. Oh Lord, I'm sorry for the things I've complained about. The third, because of time. The first is the conduct. The second is the carnality. The third is the cost. The cost. Every mumra has a cost hanging over his life. Number 16,
verse 41. Numbers 16, verse 41. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, "You have killed the people of the Lord." How did they kill them? And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and Aaron, that they looked forward the tabernacle of the Lord of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. The next verse. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. Verse 44. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, 45. Get you up from among this congregation. Get out of the way, that I may kill all of them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague has started. And Aaron took as Moses had commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague has begun. The plague was begun among the people, and he put on incense in a censer and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the living and the dead, and the plague was stayed. But even though the plague has not just started, well, look at what happened. And they that died of the plague, we are 14,700 beside them that died. About the matter of Korah, you will say, these people, they have learned their lessons. Yeah. 3 verses later, after the plague stayed, the Bible says a small group again gathered and said, Moses shouldn't lead us. Let us, this thing, how can we come to the wilderness? This is the Lord of all, who led them by night through the pillar of fire, and by day through the pillar of cloud. I want you to know that every murmur and every murmuring you've done, there is a cost. One of the costs of murmuring is that the life of that person is shortened. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians 10, 11. I will read verse 11 and verse 12. And I will give us the last C. Now, all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Give it to me in NLT, please. What we just read. These things happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. The next verse. If you think you are standing, be careful not to fall. If you read from, you know where we started from that scripture, you will see how they grumbled. The Bible said they grumbled in the wilderness and God killed them. It happened to them for our examples, so we don't repeat the same mistakes. God is still killing murmurers. God is still killing murmurers. There is a place I am crying for, a place. Give me that 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let me start from verse 1. Let me look for the verse I'm looking for. Let me show you. Verse 2. Verse 3. Verse 4. Okay. Give me verse 1. Bring back verse 1. Let's see verse 1. Let's just see verse 1. Look at this. I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, about our ancestors. In the wilderness long ago, all of them were guided by a cloud that moved. This cloud is a rock that moved ahead of them. And all of them walked through the sea on a dry ground. In the cloud and in the sea, all of them were baptized as followers of Moses. So these were not unbelievers. All of them ate the same spiritual food, and all of them drank the same spiritual water, for they drank from the spiritual rock
that traveled with them, and the rock was Christ. So imagine Christ was present and they were murmuring. They say, why did you even bring us out of Egypt? We want to go back to Egypt. Yet God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. They died, a lot of them. These things happened as a warning to us, so that we would not crave evil things as they did, or worship idols. Give me the next verse. And we must not engage in sexual immorality as some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in one day. The next verse. And don't grumble. There is a special demon assigned to anyone that grumbled. Give it to me in King James. This one said angel of death. Neither murmur as some of them also murmured, and we are destroyed by the destroyer. That shall not be your testimony in the name of Jesus. That amen is not a loud one. So the first is what, church, echo it back to me. The first is what? The first C is what? The conduct. The second C is what? The carnality. The third is what? The cause. The fourth is the cure. There is a cure. There are four steps in this cure. I'm going to rush through it. Wow. The first one is godly sorrow. In 2 Corinthians 7 verse 8 to verse 11, Paul started telling us that there is a time you can sorrow, but it's called godly sorrow. He said this sorrow brings about repentance when what you have done pricks you. It's not that you are living in regret, but there is a, the Holy Ghost convicts you of what you have done. So that's the first step. Repent. You must do it deliberately with godly sorrow. A lot of people here, their lives have been cut short to every grumbling. What you pay with grumbling is your life. Some people that should have lived for 80 years will now live for 30 years for grumbling. You need to ask God to forgive you and restore every life you have lost by grumbling. These things are spiritual. They are spiritual. They are spiritual. Neither Aaron nor Miriam lived long because they grumbled against Moses. So the first step is repentance with godly sorrow. Repenting sorrowfully. The second is gratitude, a necessary attitude. Gratitude, a necessary attitude. The Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 20. Ephesians 5 and verse 20, giving thanks always. Somebody say always. How many times? Is it sometime? How many times? Always. For all things. Is it for some things? For most things? So you lost a baby. Are you supposed to give God thanks for that? Yes. But you are not thanking God for you lost a baby. You are thanking God because you still believe in what He has capacity to do. You are not thanking God for the bad thing. You are thanking God because your faith is still hinged on Him who giveth every good gift, and nothing evil comes from Him. Am I talking to somebody here? The third is be contented. 1 Timothy 6 says, be contented with what you have. 1 Timothy 6 says, but godliness with contentment. But godliness with who? Contentment is what? Great gain. If you do business, would you want to have profit? God said, if you want to have profit in life, be godly and be contented. Let me now shock you. I want you to pay attention. Till now, I don't know what is good. Like, I don't know the difference between gold and, you know, there are necklaces also that look like gold that women wear. Anytime I see what looks like gold on somebody, I check the person that wears it. Can the person afford it?
those things you are trying to impress people for, most people don't know it. And they don't care. Husband and wife wedded. It's on social media. 6 days after their wedding, they wrote a suicide note. Two of them killed themselves. What happened? They were owing a lot of people debt. Why don't you do the one you can afford? They killed themselves. Two of them died 6 days after their wedding. Why do you want to feed people that don't even care? You want to cook rice, cook ogbono, cook. A lot of young men are not married because of that rubbish. Let me shock you. I want you to pay attention. This is even a way to marry. Once you have done the bride price of your wife, bring the woman on Thursday. Wedding is not necessarily with wedding gown and suit. Bring ring, kneel down on the altar. I will wed two of you. That's all. Some people are saying, this man of God, I'm a queen on a cable. Let me speak the blessing. I will bless the ring and say, do you? I will declare that marriage blessing. Some people are looking at me. Yes, it can be done on Thursday. I may even wear sneakers and jean and polo, and then wear first cap and remember I'm in the presence of the Lord and drop the first cap. We can do it for 5 minutes. What matters is the altar and the priest, not the ashebi and the page boy. It's not part of wedding, man. It's not part of wedding, man. Am I talking to somebody here? If you cannot do the one of wedding gown, I'm telling you, we are not trying to dilute the word of God. What matters? In fact, on the day of your trad in the village, it can still take place there if the pastor has chance. And as you people finish dancing, because God's altar is everywhere, he says, Philomena, do you take Polycarp as your lovely wedded husband to submit yourself? What matters is that marriage vow. Not all this about the wed car. There is a car, another car following. In a way, shower, bridal shower, and demon showers. Don't bridal anything. If you have money to do them, do it. It's your day. I'm not against it. If you have money to have your reception in a plane where flight is taking you people around, some lady that says, like, seriously? Let it carry you around. But there has never been one person met a wedding, a chia ome wedding one. Am I talking to somebody here? Did I wedded? My people were asking me, which car will you go with? I said, the car is coming. When I finished preparing, I had a Camry car. I came down, I saw all of you come down. My best man. They said, where is the car? I said, enter this car. It was Camry. Pastor Deka entered at the front. All of them entered. They were far at the back. I carried the Camry. And I landed them in church. People saw me and said, ah, is the wedding not taking place? I said, the wedding is starting now. I landed in church. Camera saw me and they got disappointed. They said, what kind of a human being is this? But anyway, my wife, you know, if you do it for yourself, don't play with these people. They are the government of government and of government. Through government, inside government. She came with her about to wed, with her convoy, you know, with her jeep. And before she came out from the car, it was a tug of war. She had to snap some pictures. Me, I just drove to the church and said, get this thing done. Let me go and do what is important on the bed. We have waited for a very long time. Don't know what you people are talking about. Can I still speak here? Am I sounding like I have backslidden? Somebody shout, I hear. Mm-hmm. Be contented in this Christmas. If what you have money for is your virgin hair, come on. I love it, virgin. Your virgin hair, wash it. Look for that cloth. Have a powerful carriage. That old girl you picked in men market, that skirt of 800 with your carriage, someone that is wearing a gown of 40k will be admiring you. They don't know the difference, sweetheart. What matters is the carriage of the carrier, not what is carried. If a madman wears gold, everybody will pass. They won't know. Am I talking to somebody here?
They would know. They would know. I saw one watch in Dangote's hand, and I was looking at the watch. The watch looks like what I had, like the watch in my house. I said, no. This one is original. My own is fake. Because of the one wearing it. Hey, the one that wears is more important than what is worn. Tell your neighbor, the one that wears is more important than what is worn. Somebody shout, I hear. Be contented. If what you have money for is Ipetami 200, get into your house. Don't forget those eating chicken. Forget those. God will do it. Don't put your husband under pressure. Open him at a cups of rice. If he doesn't have money for clothes for your children, see how to confuse them somehow. Watch the ones they have. If what he has is one trouser, look for one polo. In the middle of the Christmas, you don't have money to maybe spend all the money going for outing. Take them to a place, put 4,000 or 5,000 in the bag. The children don't know the difference. What they know is that mommy bought balloon for us. Took them, let them go look around, watch diner show in ShopRite. Take them around, be contented with what you have. Don't be under pressure to impress people that don't know you exist. Don't be under pressure. If people are arriving with Range Rover Sports from every part of the world, celebrate God with them. Come with your Keke Napep. Where I am is not as important as where I am going to. For God has the capacity to make a poor man rich. Somebody say, yeah.
I've let go of complaining. Can't complain again. If God gave me life, he wants me to celebrate this Christmas. It may not be us, but you now see there is something they showed. A child, they did a competition. A child came first and another one came second. The one that came second was screaming, rejoicing. The one that came first, picture captured them, carried his own gift. Even though he was, where he was a higher elevation. This one was here, rejoicing with his second, his gift. The one that carried first took his gift. Little children, his first, and was looking at this one and was crying. What matters is expression. You may not have it today, but you have it. Am I talking to somebody here? If you don't drive the car now, you will drive it. Don't put yourself under pressure. Don't accept what you cannot. And tell people what you are not. It's better to be underrated than to be overrated. If you are underrated, when you are overrated, and then you say, okay. You know, I was in Germany the other time. Which Germany? Ijebe Germany. Ebi shi nataba ababa. Ubo ezeji. What is wrong with you? I met a man of God. He said, I was in the U.S. and as I was in the U.S., I came out of U.S. and you know, there is a place called Derby County in U.S. And then I said, why is all this? He said, my brother, listen, I've never been to U.S. before. He said, no, man of God, a big preacher like you, small boys like us are traveling. I wanted to make him to start stepping down. Say, this guy you they see has never been to U.S. Even now, are you looking at me like that? A day to be in U.S. Okay, yes, I've gone to U.S. United States of Akebugu. That's the only U.S. I've gone to. United States of Akebugu, yes. Say, relax. Been to the United States. People that are there go na abuhishi. You can be in Ghana and be a champion. Can be a champion in Togo. Don't. Now, people will have dreams. People that are doing well now, we want to travel to Malaysia. It's good, but it's God leading you there. Somebody will come in with a car, and then you want to leave the one you are doing to go to uncertain land where you don't know nothing about. Be guided with wisdom. Am I talking to somebody here?
go to your house, get into your house. That children that God gave you, that precious wife that God gave you, it's not a time to be walking around. If you're a man here, you spend Christmas with a woman this year. Chineke ga kpọ gị ọkụ. Chineke ga kpọ gị ọkụ. You must be at home with your wife. If it is anything you have, eat with that woman. Be contented in the name of Jesus. Slap that person a high five. Tell the person, are you hearing what pastor is telling you? Did I just say that Chineke ga kpọ mmadụ ọkụ? Should I reverse it? Chineke ga kpọ gị ọkụ. Ọ ga kpọsa gị akpọsa. I'm beginning to love this. Am I talking to somebody here? What concerns me? Somebody said, what your level nice is not the. I say, what? I say, my level doesn't even have a car. My guys are selling banana. I know the people I sold banana with in Obiago. I pass them every day. 1996. 23 years later, they are still there. And you are telling me my level is driving Corolla. That what, you know, your level should. I say, what? I say, Corolla has gone beyond my level. Then talk more of these big cars I have. I said, even if I don't have a car, anyone at my age that has a house, a flat, not his own house, where he pays rent comfortably and he has what the children eat, is doing well in Nigeria. Talk more. I have. Do you know what God has? If he stops doing it, he has blessed me. I'm not talking about things he has given to me. I'm talking about the truth I know. I watch. Look at you. You have three girls. You are looking for a boy that has not come. And you are not handling your girls like they are human beings. You look and say, go here. I've told you to give me a boy. You useless woman. Don't you know you are the useless person? That a woman is garbage in, garbage out. You get the woman. That's why the woman gave birth to a girl. Brother, upgrade your sperm to a boy. It is from you. Women get back to what you gave them. Why are you blaming the woman? Mbobuna na mwai. Don't you know that? Is that person tough to have that understanding? And the three beautiful girls God gave you, you are not treating them well. And they will feel maltreated. And they will tell their brother that is to come, don't come here. They don't treat children well. Stand to your feet wherever you are. Have my head adoring, even angels bow before him. What a mighty God. Go back and that woman you married, that is a good woman. Stop talking bad against her before you, Jezebel. No! All your life savings you give it to a woman, that you keep this woman that goes down to pray for you. You can't give her anything. You keep telling her there is no money. And you are buying phone for girls. Repent and be converted so that the anger of God will not come on you. This Christmas, be happy with the people you love. Go see your mom. Go see your dad if they are alive. Take your wife out. Take your children out. Stay at home. That little generator you have, I pass my neighbor. Put light in it. Put little fuel in it. Stay at home. Make your daughter sit before you. In that one room, watch something on the telly. Play little with your wife. What with your wife? Stay together, love together. Anytime that happens, the home is ready for the blessing. When the home is going through anger, the Lord said, if you come to the altar and then you have something against your wife, he said, keep the gift on the altar. He said, go home, you are not entitled for the blessing. Go and settle. Don't you know that any house that is not in unity is not qualified for the blessing? Be contented. That's all you need. I stopped praying for God to give me again. I'm not praying this year. God has done much. Let him give others. I want to be excited. I'm happy for what he's done.
what he has done for me. Show me his my mate he has done it for. Let it not be heard that someone loves God more than me. Let it not be heard. Let it not be heard. Aye. Let's open our mouth. In one way or the other, we may have grumbled. We may not have shown gratitude on the things God has done. I remember where he brought us from and where we are today. His mercy kept us. His grace preserved us. If it had not been the Lord who was by our side, our enemies would have smitten us when they rose up against us. There are many accidents he saved us from. Many things he saved us from. Yes, there are things we've not seen. But God has done much more than we can ever imagine or think. Lift up your voice and begin to worship him. Let's say, Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Your name is Yahweh. Yahweh. From the pages of my heart, let my worship begin and never end to the God of all flesh. The pages of